Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course, and we can't wait to see you there. All right, it's another episode of Scrum is Hard and Disruptive. We are on number 12. Todd, I can't believe we're coming to the end here. And so far, I can't think of a single statement that has not held up.
I know, it's hard to believe. When was this written again?
This was written
2006. 2006.
Thing's almost 20 years old.
And, yeah. Holds up.
So far, so good. That Ken guy's pretty bright.
Yeah.
of course. Number 12, managing a release or project to deliver only the highest value functionality and not deliver the rest optimizes value and is the job of product management and customers. Initial thoughts, Mr. Miller.
Yeah, you know, I start to take my product owner should say no stance here because I think that it's really easy just to pile everything that a customer asks for into a system and end up with a lot of waste, a lot of things that are not necessary, a lot of things that are not used. I think that's where we can use EBM to and validate whether the things that we shipped in production are actually being used or not, which will lend itself to more objective decisions on what we're putting into our systems in the future. So I guess I'm just stuck on the product management and customers because customers have a little bit of this too. It's easy to go and say, we want all the things when really all those things may slow you down from getting what you actually need.
Yeah. All the things I don't think is a strategy. Yeah. I think all the things is what we did in the old days. You know, we have this 300-page requirements document. We don't care what's good and what's bad. We're not getting feedback in 18 months. It's going to be delivered. And that was always, and the crazy part is we always knew that at a certain point, like what we were building was never going to be used. Nobody wanted it. It wasn't going to be impactful, but because we committed to this document, we had to finish it, you know, and it's just, what was really appealing to me initially about Scrum was that, you know, I'm sure I've said this and people are tired of me saying it. I got to take a class with Ken early on in my career. And what really was appealing was he's like, look, I only want the valuable stuff and I don't want to pay for the waste. And I thought, how simple, you know, and of course it aligns with the Agile Manifesto that Ken also helped co-author and sign. You know, simplicity, the art of maximizing the amount of work not done is essential. Mm-hmm. It seems like common sense. I want to pay for the gold. I don't want to pay for the dirt. So leave the dirt on the ground, but extract the gold out. But for some reason, this idea is still kind of nebulous. What I love about this statement that I don't think is talked about enough as well, Todd, is that we're bringing the customer into the conversation too. Yeah. They're accountable for this too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't help but relate this to what we talked about when we were talking about the 11th principle. There's an engineering side to this as well, right? So the highest value functionality with a minimal but sufficient engineering and architectural practices that we need to deliver this to a customer. The reality of it is we've all been through this before, where you have a really great idea. It seems like a really great idea. And then you ship it and it wasn't a really great idea, right? And so by focusing on delivering the highest functionality and not the rest, tries to optimize this so long as we validate what we shipped, because just because you think it's valuable doesn't mean in reality it will be. Ryan, you and I have been through this many times with our business where we've come up with what we thought were good ideas at the time, and we put them out and maybe there were a better idea than we thought. Or maybe it was like a wah, wah. We didn't get the bang for the buck that we thought. We invested a lot of time in that, right? That happens all the time. This is experimentation. This is validating what actually worked and what didn't, and doing that by shipping the minimal but sufficient to be able to test our hypothesis.
You know, I think, you know, your initial statement where we just say no, right? I like, you know, some
nice little sticker up in
that. Some people in that upper right created, I didn't create that. That was created by others because I'm known for just saying no. And it's not just with product. It's just the minimal but sufficient, the only valuable stuff. I think no is so important here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, in our product backlog management course, we talk about Steve Jobs being ruthless with the iPhone 1.
Yeah.
You know, only the most valuable thing is going to go. That was his role as the product manager. And then customers would help give feedback and dictate what was next. But super ruthless. The word no has, we should get a no sticker for you too, Todd. Just the because this is like, but it's hard too, because you're not going to please everybody.
Yeah.
And some people might be mad at you. And in organizations, you might make a few enemies, right? You're not going along with what other people want. But this is at the crux, right? If I'm investing $1,000 in something, I want to get $2,000 or $3,000 in value back. And I can't get that back if I've got dirt mixed in with my gold.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Jeff Watt's take on this, because he wrote it. Forgive me for incorrectly remembering the title, but his book on product ownership, he discusses a lot about how a product owner has to be ruthless in how they manage a product backlog and what's on there. So I really like that angle, that a product owner should be ruthless about how they operate, what goes into the product, and saying no.
Right? Or even like if no is too confrontational, say not yet.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, just say not yet. This is not of the highest value. And even with slicing work, Todd, we'll see people take a big idea and almost treat it like an old school work breakdown structure. And here's the 10, you know, 10 parts of the original idea. Great. Now get rid of the 7 that are not valuable. Like slicing work is not equal parts. It's what was the one thing in there that's where's the gold? And then the rest of the dirt and the rock, get it out of there. And I think that's, it's another skill that, you know, even though Ken highlighted this almost 20 years ago, this skill has not necessarily been built. This is not a strong, it's not a strong muscle, in my opinion, in the Agile community.
Yeah, not yet. Hopefully we're getting there. Hopefully things like EBM that are seeing a growth in popularity help to do this.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's it for number 12. Be sure to like and subscribe. Let us know how these videos are going. If you like them, let us know in the comments. If you hate them, email Todd. Be sure to click that bell so you never miss any future episodes. Check out our socials. We're pretty big on X, formerly known as Twitter. And LinkedIn. Some videos are going to pop up here. It's our Scrum 101 and EBM 101 courses. No excuses. Watch the playlist. Go get certified. Go conquer the world. Let us know how it's going in the comments. For Todd, I'm Ryan. Go forward. Do some great Scrum things. Be ruthless, right? Make good product decisions, but be ruthless. We'll see you next time. Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!